Pubcast.
That's the biggest crime in the Western world. So if you want to live in the Western world, you better have money. Because anything you want to do, you need money in this physical universe world. So you are in this world, in this physical universe, and to say, well, let's not have money, it's basically saying, I'm defeated.
Welcome to the Liberated Healer Podcast, where we touch on a variety of topics in the world of spirituality, energetic healing, and everything in between and beyond. Take an adventure on a shooting star with your host, Gina, offering their wisdom, guidance, and everlasting love and support.
Hi, everybody. This is Gina Cavalier. This is the Liberated Healer Podcast. I have Nir Ezra on. Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. You know, we're recording this in the middle of November of 2023 after a lot of, you know, heavy things have gone on recently. I know you were born in Israel. And that's why we really wanted to have you on the show. I wanted to have your energy. I want to work towards healing. So if we lean into some of that conversation, that's fine too. But you're a human behavioral expert. You've done very well with, you know, you've been very prosperous with your finances and lots of different things. So I'm going to lean in and let you kind of talk a little bit about yourself to give people an understanding of who you are and why we're here today.
Okay. So let me talk a little bit about myself, although I don't think that I'm important at all. The fact that I'm extremely successful means really nothing. What's important is what's true for you. So I say something and the spirit is this thing that knows. And how do I prove that? Because when I say something, you go and you check and you come back to me and you say yes or not, which means you already knew. The spirit is this thing that knows. This is one of the definitions of the word spirit. But just for the interest, I will tell you a little bit about myself. I was born, as you said, in Israel. I was born with my both feet going backward. And the doctor said that I will not ever walk or anything like that. I was in cast for 6 years up to my hips. Every 3 days, they would take off the cast and break the feet. And it was extremely, extremely painful. And after 6 years, the feet looked forward, but I had no muscles. And the doctor said, you will not work. You will be on a wheelchair for the rest of your life. And I said, mm-mm. And never mind how, I've ended up not only walking and running. I joined one of the most prestigious unit in the Israeli army. I was a diver. The course is 2 years. We started 4,000 people. We ended up 21 after 2 years. So it's really very high selection. And I've been there for 6 years. And after that, I traveled the Far East, climbed the Himalaya, did all kind of crazy things, and then started a business. And by the age of 31, I've made my first $100 million. And yeah, and since then, like any good Jew, I print money.
Bless you and your family and everything. And, you know, I always go into the spirit and people, especially when they're first really diving into their spirituality, they feel like they have to renounce any type of wealth. You know, there's a, you know, that wealth is somehow bad, or that the spirits or the guidance or whoever you pray to or work with, you know, they want you to be impoverished. And I love that I believe that that's not true. They want us to thrive and live our full life, whatever it is, you know. So there's good energy around money and then there is negative energy around money.
Yep. Very true. So I think that the biggest crime in the Western world is not to have money. That's the biggest crime in the Western world. So if you want to live in the Western world, you better have money. Because anything you want to do, you need money in this physical universe world. So you are in this world, in this physical universe, and to say, well, let's not have money. It's basically saying, I'm defeated. I don't have money. So now I'm going to justify it saying that I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Why? Because the spirit is this thing that can bring something out of nothing. The spirit is this thing that can create endless control over the physical universe. So if you don't have control over the physical universe, you are not spiritual. You are an effect. You are a piece of physical universe that are in effect. So what's the difference between cause and effect? What's the difference between the spirit and the physical universe? The physical universe cannot bring about the expected result. It's just sitting there waiting, a stone, never have an idea. And the spirit can bring about something out of nothing.
Yes.
So any person that do not demonstrate control over his environment is not spiritual. He's just a defeated man that has a very good, he's sick in the, you know, this very famous disease. In Israel, I don't know if it's in the rest of the world, but in Israel, there's a disease that's called excuse sclerosis. It's people that use excuses all the time. So when you go into this disease of excuse, using excuses instead of bringing results, what you do is you say, oh, fine, so I don't need a car. Car is overrated. I don't need a beautiful house. I don't need beautiful clothes. No, nonsense. You do, because if you don't have it, your condition is really bad, because life is composed of different areas. You've got yourself, you've got your family, you've got the group, you've got mankind, you've got life forms, you've got the physical universe, you've got yourself as a spiritual being, and you've got God. And all of this thing is you. And once in your condition, your life is defined by the weakest link. So you cannot be spiritual and be failing physically, because let me explain what I mean. So I'm going just to do this. I'm going to show my drawing. So if this is a problem, the source of the problem is always before, So if I have a headache, the problem is not with the headache. The problem is before. So whatever the person is complaining about is just the manifestation, is not the source. The source is always before. So if this is myself, and this is my family, and this is the group, and this is, let's say, mankind, if I have a problem with money, which is, let's say, somewhere here, it means that I already have problem with my families, and I already have problem with myself. So instead of solving the problem, I come up with an excuse, and I say, well, you know, I don't need money. Money is overrated. Nonsense. So if you are not cause, you are losing in life, and you cannot really help. Because in this universe, in the physical universe, this is the physical universe, it's composed of matter, energy, space, and time. If you don't control matter, energy, space, and time, you are a victim.
Yes, and that's basically the law of attraction is what you're saying. So if you have that mindset, you're just going to create more of that and bring more of that to you.
Let's define what's the law of attraction mean. Let's define what does it mean. So the law of attraction says that in the physical universe, plus attract minus, and plus and plus repel each other, and minus repel each other. Okay, this is what's happening in the physical universe, okay? So if I take plus and minus, if you take two magnets, if I'll take two magnets and I put them down, they will attract each other. And if I turn it around, plus and plus, they will repel each other, okay? So this is how it works on the physical universe. However, spiritually, plus and plus attract things.
Mm-hmm.
And plus and minus reject it. So when we talk about the law of attraction, which laws of attraction are we talking about? Physical or spiritual?
Mm.
That's number one. And number two, the laws of attraction are just manifestation, because the moment that you attract something, you're already dealing with the physical universe. So let me explain what I mean so it's more real. If this is the beginning and this is time, And let's call this thing the physical universe, and let's call this thing the spiritual universe. What is the physical universe? The physical universe is anything that composed of two. The smallest number in this universe is two. For every force, there is counterforce. You cannot have one force. There's, for every force, there is counterforce. For every plus, there is minus. For every small, there is big. And even if you talk about the heart, which is one, you're actually talking about an idea of the heart, but it's composed of two. The atom is composed of electron and proton. Nothing in this universe survives if it's not of two. There's no such thing, just plus or just minus. So the physical universe composed of two. So we can say that something, whoops, my writing is terrible all of a sudden. Something is anything that composed of two. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if this is the beginning of the physical universe, beginning mean was not here before. The beginning of our relationship was today, which means it was not here before. The beginning of the iPhone was in whenever, 2000 and whatever. So it was not here before, which means two was not here before. So the spiritual universe or the spirit is the nothingness that can bring about somethingness, that can bring about twos. Which means that when I'm talking about the laws of attraction, it's only in the physical universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because plus and minus, plus and plus, all of this thing is in the physical universe. You are already an effect. You are already not you. So when you deal with the laws of attraction, something happened and you are the effect of it. More effect, less effect, who cares? But if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at something and I'm saying, I want something, I want something, I want something, I'm already an effect because I'm waiting for someone to give me something.
Yeah.
Or something. So the spirit is this thing that can bring something out of nothing. So whenever you start to work with energy or anything like that, you are not spiritual. I'm sorry. You are maybe an engineer, but you're not spiritual. Engineers working with energy. Spiritual people working with nothingness that bring about somethingness.
So can we get some real world
examples?
Yeah. I'll give you something I'm working on, you know, in my business. And so, you know, I work a lot, like spiritual things will come to me. I mean, energetically or spiritually, like the idea, right? So I have a book coming out about healing suicidal ideation. And I literally manifested that book idea. I interviewed someone on my show. Something kept telling me, ask her to write it with you. Ask her. And I asked her. And now we wrote it together. We got a book. We got a publisher like that. It's been all lining up perfectly, right? And then I didn't know where my life purpose was going to go. And now I want to create, you know, Suicidal Ideation Anonymous, much like AA Anonymous. Now, this just came to me while I was basically sleeping, like laying in bed, saying, that's the next thing you have to create. You'll get grants, you'll get things like that. But this is just a real world example. So is that spiritual law of attraction bringing it into the physical?
So let's have a look. How does the spirit create? The spirit is a nothingness that creates by putting an idea plus intention. Idea is not physical. If you can touch and why no one can wipe up communism or terrorism or any one of those things? Because you can wipe up an organization. You cannot wipe up an idea. You can put the biggest fortress in the universe. The idea will go through. The idea is sneakier than water. It goes through. Somehow it goes through. So idea is not physical.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is physical. So ideas is something that you create. And the moment that you will confront that it's you, it didn't come to you, you create it, then you can take responsibility for it. But if you say, well, it's come to me from somehow, so let's talk to this somehow, and he is the boss. It's not come to me from somehow. I brought about the idea, and now I can do something about it. But if you gave me the idea, it's not me, you are the boss.
So say I'm the boss of the situation. Is spirit then just helping me along to make sure I align with the right pathways.
So the more you rely on you,
yep,
the less you look for confirmation, the less you look for the physical universe, for energy to tell you what's going on, the more you just say, I'm there and I'm putting it there and I'm willing to win and lose for with the same level of enthusiasm. I'm putting it there for no reason at all, just because I know. Why? Because I know. Like, how do you know your name? You know your name. There's no reason. When you need the reason, you already lost.
Yep. This is resonating because with me. I'm trying to, you know, for people that might be a little lost, apply my own examples. For example, daily, we have to make a lot of decisions in our life. Constantly. Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I work with that person? Right. And we have to rely on our intuition. I feel like when you become very solidified in what you're creating, those decisions you answer them really fast. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, so you get a lot done instead of before when I wasn't sure with who I was and what I was doing, I would get lost and I would have to overthink and try to, you know, and then the decision making was so hard and an obstacle was even harder. You know, it would take me down for days. And now you just move through so much faster. You're sort of like in a groove. There's a difference that I felt. It's and almost like I can never go back though as well. It's almost like you become that thing, you know, and am I getting this kind of correctly?
100%. Let me draw this thing so it will make more sense, okay? Because what you're saying is spot on.
Okay, good.
If this is the beginning and this is time. So you've got this spirit here and the spirit put two particles and then it puts four and then eight and then 64 and 256 and so on and so on. And you put more and more and more past. This is all your past. Let's say that this is, we call this now, okay? And here you've got a lot of past. Okay. And then when you, so we can call this thing the past, and this is the future, and this is now. Okay. But it's not really now because now is always moving. Nothing stops in this universe. Yes. So you'll see that when you rely on your past, when you need to make the decision, what you do, you say, if this has happened, this happened, and then this happened, and maybe this may also happen, and this happened, and that caused that thing. And we always have prior causes, an intricate network of prior cause, this caused that, caused that, caused that, caused that. So when you are here, nothing happened because it's so slow, and you cannot make a decision because there are so many options that you don't know what to do. You are stuck in doubt. You are really stuck in doubt and you become very slow. And so although people think that the past or the experience is very important, what I say is that your only enemy is your experience, because your experience is the sum of all your limitations. According to experience, we will never fly. People will still believe that you cannot fly. So what I say is the future never comes, because the future is never future. And everyone wants to be in the now, but never anyone define what does it mean now. Now is not now because now is gone. Now is gone. By the time I say now, there was another 60 minutes past, yes?
Yeah.
So now is always gone. So now is actually before the beginning. If you can be the spirit, if you can ignore the more you can ignore your past, the more you are in the now. So now, the definition of now is the span of time you have total control over, or the span of time that you create everything in, and that can be done only when you do not rely on your past.
So then what
more you rely on...
Yeah, what is the past?
The more
just experience.
For nothing. For nothing. No, because the past just, look what's happened with the past. So this is your past and you born and this is your potential. And the more you accumulate past, the less able you are until you are dying, until you are dead. So a child, the baby, has endless amount of potential. And the more you accumulate past, the weaker you get, the slower you get, the stupider you get. You don't learn from your experience, because if people would learn from their experience, all the old people will be rich, famous, unbelievably healthy, unbelievably powerful, and most of them wants to kill themselves. They are not really powerful. The most of them feeling like a failure, which means that experience is not so good. You don't learn from your experience. You die due to your experience. Yeah. You want to become powerful. The hell with the experience. I live today and I make my tomorrow. I don't care what that's happened yesterday.
And that's, you know, that's how I heal my suicidal ideation. And that's where I'm writing the book from, you know. And I feel like a lot of people I've talked to that was in the same situation I was, we were trapped in our stories, in our past. And we needed to give ourselves permission to say whatever, you know, and that limited us. It was literally like living in a box because in your, you know, you get triggers and then, you know, oh, I'm back in the past. And I have to, this always happens to me, and the self-pity and all that stuff comes up. Yeah. And when you kind of move through that and be like, when you can let that, you know, especially with what's going on in the world right now, this is going to be really important, don't you think?
Yeah. The moment that you realize that the past really did not pass, unless you let it pass, then what I say is that when a person has a problem, usually if I go and I do coaching for a friend or something in a company, I'm very successful and a lot of people come to me and ask me for coaching, business coaching. And I ask them all kind of questions about why do they think they have the problems and why they're not having money or why they're losing money or why they are, whatever the situation may be. And they tell me. And now why do I ask them? Because all the things that they told me, I know it's not the reason.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. Now I know what it's not. Why? Because if it was the reason, they wouldn't have the problem.
Yeah.
So if someone tell me, you know, the reason I have a problem is because my dad molested me when I was 3 years old. I'm sure it's not the reason, because if it was the reason, the problem will solve. Because when you find the real reason for a problem, the problem solve. If someone tell you the reason for the problem is A and the problem is not there, the person is just talking nonsense. I know what's the reason is not, because when someone tell me the reason we're not selling a lot is because the market is difficult. Okay. Can you now change the market? No. Is the market stay difficult? Thank you very much. You're still not selling a lot. You don't know what you're doing. It's not the market. But if the person tell me, well, you know, I had a problem with sales and I realized that if I'll do this marketing campaign, everything will work. And guess what? It's worked double than what I thought. It was like amazing. That was the real reason.
Yeah.
So an excuse, when you have a problem, if this is a problem, you can have excuses or you can have the real reason. When you use one of those excuses, the problem grows. How do you know that you're using an excuse? The problem grows. Once you find the real reason, the problem reduces in size immediately. And the real reason have two characteristics. Number one, it is something you can do something about. If someone tell me the reason that my life is messed up is because my parents, blah, can you replace your parents? No, thank you very much. It's not the reason. Next. It's not the reason because you cannot do anything about it. Enough with the stories. It's about time after, like, let's say it happened at the age of three. At the age of 3 and 3 months, you should apply the statute of limitation and next go, let's go. It's not the reason. You are now 60 years old and you're still crying about it. Come on. Get over it. It's not true. And number two, once you find, let's say that you say, well, the reason I'm not doing well is because I didn't learn. Okay, can you learn? Yes, I can. Good. If you start to learn, the situation must improve immediately. And if it doesn't improve immediately, not improve, improve immediately, again, you're dealing with an excuse.
And this can be in full on entire companies, like it's contagious, this kind of excuse negativity.
And excuse neurosis.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
It's my that because I invented it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then people can not take accountability and they can pass the buck to the other department, say, for example, and it just kind of, you know.
If the person give you a reason for the problem and the problem do not get solved or do not improve immediately, if the person give you a reason for the problem and the problem is over there, it's not under his control, he is lying. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If I take a client and I tell him, well, you know, the reason you have a problem is because you have an imbalance in your brain. Okay, good. Can you figure, what does it mean, imbalance? Imbalance in the brain, it means that I have something here and I have here your brain, and this is the balanced brain. Now, since we don't have a balanced brain ever, because mine is not balanced, I don't know what is the balance, but how can the balance the brain? It's nonsense. It's bullshit. So if someone tell me, well, the reason you have a problem is because your brain is unbalanced, I know they're talking nonsense, because they don't have one brain that is balanced to compare to. So it's nonsense. So if I'm not just giving something that is, if I'm actually willing to understand what the person is saying and to really say, does it actually improve the situation right now? Then you are becoming powerful. And if not, you will become weaker and weaker and weaker. And to hide the fact that you become weaker and more effect, you start to blame. And the more you blame, the worse you get. And then the end is obvious. You get less and less and less, and you start to believe that you don't need as much, and you start to and it's all just justification. What's the word justification? Justification meaning giving an excuse for the most obvious wrongness, giving an explanation for the most obvious wrongness. So the most obvious wrongness, I cheated my wife, it's wrong. And now I just start to explain, well, you cannot be with one woman all your life. It's an excuse. Come on. It's not okay to, it's not okay to cheat. Next. Nonsense.
Yeah.
Your friend come to you, do something really terrible against you. And he start to say, well, you know, but you did that, and which you probably didn't even do. But why does he really believe in that is because he's using an excuse, giving an excuse for the most obvious, the most flagrant wrongness.
Yeah.
And the more you see of that, the more you know the guy doesn't know, and we need to, start to handle.
And what I've noticed is when you make these big changes and these awareness in your life, you're going to change so much as a human, though, correct? And then those changes are going to upset the apple cart of the people around you a little bit, because they're used to you being a certain way, right? And that makes, if they start seeing you not having all these limits and going for, you know, believing in yourself, having this knowingness, right? There's this interesting conflict that happens I've seen a lot with people. Of the other people surrounding them, they start to feel shameful or something that they're not moving ahead, and then it creates a lot of conflict. And what do you say to people? Because that's a big part in our book too, that we didn't want to put highlight on that, because people who are going through this process have fear of losing, right? The fear of loss. So I didn't want to highlight it too much, but it is a big part of it while you're changing the world around you. So what's some of the advice about as you're making these strides and changing and you feel great about the changes you're making, but the people around you kind of.
Yeah. So the answer divides to a few parts. First of all, those people that feel that will want to attack you and suppress you and put you down is a very, very, very small part of the overall society, of the overall people that you know. It's actually 2.5%, not more. But you put your attention on them instead of seeing all the good. So people have a tendency to see what's wrong. They have a tendency to see what's wrong. And why? Because the physical universe you fix by finding what's wrong with it. You fix machine by finding what's wrong with the machine. But you fix people by finding what's right.
Mm.
You find what's right with people, they improve. But if you find what's wrong with them, they deteriorate. You make them into a physical universe, into a machine. Now, when you start to improve and you make changes in your life, if you don't really understand what's going on, if you operate on what I call fake reality is a piece of information you are 100% sure is correct, but when you use it, it doesn't bring the expected results. So when you start to operate in your life without knowledge, you just decided, oh, I'm going to be nice. But you don't have really knowledge. You don't really understand what does it mean, spirit? What is a mind? People say, well, you know, the mind. Define the mind. When last did you see a mind? People don't actually know. They don't know what is the spirit. They don't know that the spirit is this thing that do not compose of two, but has the ability to compose, to create, to bring something out of nothing, has the ability to bring twos. They don't have the actual definition of almost anything. They say, well, you know, I work with energy. And I speak to lots of people that tell me, well, you know, I do an energy work. Excellent, good. Define for me the word energy. And they say, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what's the difference between energy, force, power, impact? Just define for me. How do you measure energy? They don't even know that energy you measure with joules. They don't actually know. They're just parroting words they say, they heard. So most of the people actually parroting words, but they don't really understand. So once you start to improve, not based on knowledge, you just improve because you just made a decision, I'm going to improve, which is good. But without the knowledge, you will fail. Why? Because knowledge bring control. If I know how to drive a car, I will be willing to take responsibility for the car and I will control the car. But if I just decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for the car, I'm just going to drive. But without the knowledge, believe me, you will be a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You will have an accident. So that's what really happened. People, which is good, I really all for it. It's good to take responsibility. It will raise your condition, but you must learn. And what does it mean, learning? Learning is not adding more data. Learning is removing the past. Learning is to remove the fake reality. Learning is to move, to remove the lies, because the spirit knows. What prevents you from knowing is this. This is what prevents you from knowing. This is you all knowing. This is the spirit. And this is where you're playing right now. And you've got the past. And the past prevents you from knowing. This is the jail. The walls of the jail is built from your experiences in the past. And people make the experiences so important. And so they make themselves not important.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. And it is like a jail.
When you're stuck,
it's a self-imposed prison that, you know, you can remove the bars, but you don't.
You close the door from the inside every day. This is a wonderful jail. You go inside and you close the door from the inside. And the only way to get out of this jail is to realize that your enemy is your past. Your actual enemy is your past, is your experience. Because the more experience you have, the less of you you have. Because you bring life into things. And when you look at the experience, you want the past to give you life.
Mm.
When a person is powerful, he brings life into things. I go into a room, I bring life. I put everyone alive. I don't need drinks or drugs or anything. I'm in a room. Everyone is alive. They will be alive just because I'm there. Because I bring life into things. So I bring life into my computer. I bring life into people. I bring life into things. I'm not an effect. Average person suck life from the past, suck life from other people because he does not know. He relies on his experience.
Mm-hmm. You can almost relate to past. All that past thinking is almost a death. The energy of death because, I like how you said you walk in because when I worked at the studios in entertainment, I would walk in into a big room with a lot of very important people. And people used to think that I was the boss. And I was really low level on the totem pole. And then people used to turn around and ask me, well, what do you think? And my actual boss would get mad because she would go, I don't understand why they're always asking you. And I
would, because you bring life into things.
Right. Because I carried myself and I, you know, looked at people in the eye and I walked in with life. That was such a great way. But a lot of people, when they do go, they get into the humdrum of their businesses and they just go to work. They don't change anything. They don't go in with any new energy in those meetings. And then it's the same result over and over again. And then they just, yes, it's really, and I love what you said about, let's look at what's right with people. We have to collaborate that. It's so easy. Yeah. Everybody wants to pick out what's wrong.
Yeah. You know, most people, go ahead, sorry.
No, you know, it's like, you're not educated enough. People used to tell me, I will never get published. I mean, so many people told me that. So many.
Nonsense.
And what I was like, I don't care. I'm still going to keep trying.
Yeah. You know, what's the definition of the word insanity?
Yeah.
How would you define the word insanity?
Doing it over and over.
No, that's the definition of tenacity. Tenacity is doing it over and over and expecting different results. Do you have children?
No.
Okay. If you had a child, I have children. And you know, you tell them, go to the shower, go to the shower, go to the shower, go to the shower, go to the shower. Go. That's tenacity. Then they go into the shower and then you tell them, get out of the shower, get out of the shower. That's tenacity. Yes. That's not insanity. Insanity is actually attention stuck in the past.
You can absolutely correlate that with what's happening in the world right now. Mm-hmm. That energy is stuck in the past. That storyline is old and stuck. And that the people that are creating conflict are stuck in the past, right?
Yeah, 100%. Wow. So attention stuck in the past is really insanity. Mm-hmm. So the more you're stuck in the past, if you fight with your husband or your boyfriend or your boss, you don't fight about what's happening right now. You fight about what happened in the past. So instead of creating, instead of bringing something out of nothing, because when a person cannot create, when a person loses his ability to come up with ideas and bring something out of nothing, what he does, he gets stuck in the past. And the more stuck in the past, the more insane you are.
Yeah. And
intention stuck in the past is insanity.
And then going back to the other thing you said, which was knowledge, like you must learn, like you said, how to drive. Another thing that I'm seeing people, and I know you are too, is where they're just assuming, like you're saying, this fake reality and this without really learning or going in and getting educated and making a decision based on one image or this is a problem.
Yeah, they don't know. People don't know. People, unfortunately, I've got something that we do, which is called the Family Academy, where I teach people how to be parents. And we've done it for more than a million people. We deliver that for more than a million people. And the common denominator that I see, and in businesses, tens of thousands of people, and I really helped a lot of people on all levels on the scale, like from head of states, from the prime minister of Israel to a janitor, all levels. And I can tell you that the one thing that I can tell you for sure, 70% of what people say, they don't understand. They don't understand the words. And 90% of what people say, they don't understand. They just parroting. So what you hear, 90% of what people hear, they don't actually have the definitions of the word. And I've been proving this millions of times. Like I ask a person, okay, fine, energy, what is it? Cannot define. Oh, you know, it's the frequency. Good, define for me the word frequency. They cannot define it. They don't know what a frequency means, yet they're using it all the time. Frequency is only number of peaks in a wave that you have per second. Hertz mean times per second. They don't know what it is. Wavelength is just the distance between two tops, and it's measured in centimeters. they don't know what good means. They don't know what, of course, spirits, the mind, they just don't know. They're using, if I ask a person, an average person, define for me, what does it mean right? The right thing to do. What's the word right? They don't know. Or someone said ethical. Good, define the word ethical. They don't know. And once you realize people don't know, you're like, wow, okay, good. So I know where the problem is. They don't actually have definition of the word. So if any idea, if this is an idea, or this is a, let's call it an idea, an idea is communicated by a number of sentences. Assuming that the sentences are correct, if you understood all the sentences, you will understand the idea. Simple, yes? Now, people don't understand ideas and they think that they don't understand it because they're not smart or because they didn't learn or because they were born to the wrong family or whatever. No, they just did not understand one or more sentences. Now, a sentence is composed of words and symbols. So the only reason you don't understand a sentence is because you did not understand a word or symbol. And then that caused you to misunderstand the sentence, and that caused you to misunderstand the idea. And the result is stupidity. Mm-hmm. Stupidity is just the manifestation of a misunderstood word.
Mm-hmm. And then you pair the misinformed idea, you pair it, and then
you invent something. Someone tell you, you know, I like chakachuka on Monday and Tuesday. Now you don't know what chakachuka means.
No.
So you invent. Well, you know, I want to be Chukaluka Pike and in Mondays, but in Palestine it's different. Good. Define for me the word Palestine. What does it mean? Define the word.
Yeah.
From the river to the sea. From which river to which sea?
Mm-hmm.
Just define words. Just define the words. Oh, he's a terrorist. Define the word terrorist. They don't. Actually, not. They're just parroting things.
Yeah.
Most of the people, most of the time, are just beautiful parrots.
Yeah.
They're just parrots. That's all. And if you realize that, then everything becomes easy because now you know what to do to fix them, because all you have to do is to teach them the words.
Yeah.
And the moment that I understand the words, the moment that I understand that energy is what it is and wavelength is what it is, they don't just say, oh, it's the wavelength. Okay, yeah. What does it mean? It's the frequency. What does it mean?
Well, it's like, you know, I was trying to teach my student, you know, how do you explain to a blind person what the color purple is? You know,
yeah.
When they'll start to say, oh, it's really hard, you know? And so, you know,
Well, how will you define the word purple?
Yeah.
How do you define the moment that you will know the definition of the word purple, you will be able to define for a blind person what purple is.
Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
The moment that you can define the word, how do you know that you know? You can explain it to a 6 years old.
Yeah.
If you cannot explain it to a 6 years old, you yourself don't understand yet the word. If you understand the definition of the word purple, you will be able to explain the guy what is it, because you ask him, okay, what do you see? Well, he says, I see black. Okay, good. Excellent. What is black? It means black is just lack of colors. Okay? Good, excellent. It's not lack of lights, it's lack of colors. Okay? Now, can you imagine adding something bright into it? Do you have the concept of light? Yes, it has the concept of light. Have you ever seen a picture in your mind that is lighted? Yes, good. So let's add now white into it. Excellent. Now you have white. Good. Now, what other shades did you ever see in your mind? And he will tell you and will say, okay, fine, let's agree on names for those shades. And those shades are actually just levels between white and black. So where will you put them in the spectrum? And now we're creating a spectrum. And now it's that we create the spectrum, and we tell him, okay, this is white, and now let's add yellow, let's add sun, we add shades, all the shades. And we tell him, so purple is more or less around 70% to the left on the shade scale, and he will have total reality of what it is. There is nothing that cannot be explained that you know.
Okay.
But if you just parrot it, if you just say purple, but I don't have a definition of it, then you will not be able to explain it. So when you find yourself not unable to explain something, report to yourself, I don't know it.
Yes. Well, I want everybody who's listening to, there's been a lot of diagrams, so you can go to the YouTube page and watch visually. If you want to go back and re-go over through everything, because the diagrams are very helpful. So, you have the company that you're with, you have, is Guaranteed Prosperity. It's about helping the individual, helping the families, helping business, helping the world.
Yes.
Some of the categories that you work with is prosperity, health, mindset, family, marketing, and sales. Obviously, all the big things. So, and I also see that, you know, you've worked with a lot of people that you worked with rehab, you know, rehabilitating criminals. You've helped to get people off drugs. I'm very passionate about that because for me personally, my thing, I believe that everybody came into this world, you know, with pure intentions. As a child and as a baby and this spark of light and soul, you know, we might have gotten lost around the way, but everybody has this brilliance, you know, light until it gets dimmed into darkness. And we know what happens when people kind of go that way. But a lot of these people have, you know, something still to add. And I, you know, they're usually the forgotten people. So I want to say thank you for your continued efforts to people that have been completely, you know, especially in America. You know, we have so many people in prison. Nobody talks about it, about the programs to rehabilitate. Some of these souls were young kids when they had, you know, different, you know, helping them to relieve the, all they live with is about their past, right?
So I say, I have a law that when a person really gets it, he can start improving. I said that you are perfect and anything that is not perfect is not you. You are perfect and anything that is not perfect is not you. You take a person and you'll see that, and I worked with lots of criminals, you see that they can do the worst thing. One of the definitions of the word sin is a harmful act committed in an effort to resolve a problem. Every sin you ever committed was in an effort to resolve a problem. When you don't have the knowledge, you do it in the incorrect way. But you have a good intention. You are good. The actions are bad. They're coming from your past. They're coming from the reliance on your... They're coming from the reliance on your past, on the reliance, your inability to separate between you and your actions, the inability to separate between you and your past, the inability to separate between you and the insanities. And really, all of that, the basis of all of that is just fake realities. Realities, because once you really remove those fake realities, what you get is you, and you are perfect. So you can say you're perfect, and anything that is not perfect is just a fake reality you are holding to.
Yeah. Wow. You're perfect. In the middle is this fake reality, and then on the other side is your old actions that you carry around with you as a. And you can let them go at any time, really.
Yeah.
Because even if you are, say, incarcerated, you know, every soul that falls the past away and finds their brightness again elevates, I think, the world around them, right? It's like the...
Mm-hmm.
So even if these are people that we're not even really considering anymore, still as they become whole again, more and more, we still will, as a collective, rise up, don't you?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Because we said that you, the person, is yourself, your possessions, your family. Under family, we have family, children, sex as a mechanism for future survival and creativity. This is all in this area. Then you have groups, big groups, small groups. Then we have mankind. Then we have life forms. Then you've got the physical universe. Then you as a spiritual being, and then the creator or God. All of this thing is you. So if you are not handling one of those areas, it will mess up all the other areas. You cannot be a successful businessman and messed up in your mind. Cannot. It doesn't work. You cannot be a good father and stuck in the past. You cannot be, regardless of how much good intention you have. You cannot be spiritual while you're stealing in your business. It just doesn't work. Your condition is defined by the condition of the worst area in your life. And all of that is handled by removing fake realities. The problem is not the spirit. The problem is not spiritualism. The problem is fake reality. Because the spirit is perfect. The spirit cannot do anything but perfection. All the other things is what manifests as bad actions and bad results. So you can take a child, and my definition of the word child is a person with a small body, always good intention, and often bad results. And if you look at the results of a child, you would incarcerate him for sure. But you don't, because you somehow realize that he has good intention.
Yeah.
And if you'll do the same thing about everyone around you, and you'll be able to separate between the intention and the action, all of a sudden you will see that you will be able to handle the correct problem. The correct problem is not the spirit. The correct problem is the action. And the action gets fixed by removing fake reality.
Oh, fake reality. Let's get rid of them.
Exactly.
Take them off the list. Say goodbye.
Exactly. There are specific methods to remove fake reality, because the problem with fake reality, it's a piece of information you're 100% sure is right.
How
do you find that it's a fake reality?
Yes.
So there's a method to specifically isolate those fake realities and undo them.
And how do we find that then?
This is what I'm teaching in my webinars and seminars. It's not something that I can explain in 2 minutes.
Well, sure. So that's what I wanted to be able to direct people back to. So it's the guarantee prosperity.
Cheaprosperity.com. Or just follow me on Instagram. I have tons of material, free material all the time. And it's Meir Ezra Official on Instagram and cheaprosperity.com. And I really have ton of free material. And anyone that write to me, I don't care who he is, I always answer. It's not someone that answers for me. I personally answer always, always, always. I handle probably per day 500 to 1,000 communication from random people.
You know, I love that. That's always been my number one thing, that I always got back to everybody no matter what. And that's just very endearing, you know, everybody, you know, it's just a great way to have business. And I thank you so much for all the effort you're putting out to get that, you know, and you have made it to a point where you can live comfortably. And a lot of us want to do that too. And, you know, for me, I dream of building other things to help other people, and I'm going to need a lot of finances for that. And, you know, the fake realities that I have is that people tell me you'll never raise that money right out of the bat, you know, no matter what. Oh, if, you know, people aren't investing right. If they all come into it, you know, and you start to believe it and you stop your progress,
it's not true. Not true. Number one, ask them, what's the word money mean? How can you have money if you don't understand the word money? Most of the people cannot define the word money. I spoke to many, many, many businesses and businessmen, and when they fail, they have one common denominator. They cannot define the word money. They don't know what money is.
Well, what is it? I'll have to work on that.
Well, so money is really simple. Money is an idea backed by confidence. I have a credit card. It's worth 5 cents, the plastic. But I could go with this, my credit card, with this idea of credit card, and I built there is a confidence around you, and I just go and I just bought a $600,000 car with this stupid black thing. $600,000. I went in, gave this card, and they gave me a Maybach. Because the idea had a confidence around it. I went, when I started my business, my first business, when I've done this first $100 million, I came into South Africa. I had an idea about how to handle fuel fraud. And in South Africa, it was a big thing. And there was a company before me that tried to do something similar for 7 years. They invested millions of dollars and they went bankrupt. I went in, didn't have money, had long hair, couldn't speak English. But I was 100% confident that, yeah, this idea, they're going to buy. And in 3 months, I closed BP, big company. That everyone say, well, it will take you years and you cannot go with earrings and long hair and you will not believe that I was like that. I just came back from the Far East with chains and whatever. And I closed them within 3 months, $100 million deal. Why? Idea begged by confidence. So you obviously need to understand fully what idea means. You obviously need to understand to define totally what confidence means. How do you create it? How do you create it with yourself? How do you create it with someone else? How do you create it with other people? How do you create it you with you and you with others? So when you really get it, money is the easiest thing in the universe. There's more money than sand in this universe.
It's true. I love that.
Just an idea and confidence.
Yeah, and a lot of people aren't tough themselves out of it before they even try.
Because they don't understand that money is an idea backed by confidence. When I come to you and I sell you something, I give you an idea and I close you on the confidence that I can deliver and you give me money. Even if I'm not Jewish.
Well, thank you for this time today. It's been amazing. I am wholeheartedly hoping that this conflict comes to resolution soon, that your people get home, that... you know, we've all been kind of thrown into this. And again, we were talking about knowledge, going and, you know, paying attention to the fake information that's out there. I've gone deep and really done a lot of my investigation and, you know, so I can have intelligent conversations and just hope that people continue to do that. Just a couple of days ago, I live in Ventura County, California. A protester was hit on the head with a megaphone and he passed away. His name is Paul Kessler, and I am sending him and his family love. And that's not okay. You know, we can still have our opinion. We don't have to hurt people. Well, just wanted to end with a little bit of thoughts about that because that's real and that's heavy. But thank you so much.
Thank you. So nice meeting you. And thanks. You for everyone that's listening.
And we'll link everything in the bio and the information to where people can look and find you on Instagram and on your website. Thank you so much. And thank you to Gal.
I hope to be in contact. Yes, of course. Gali is amazing.
Well, he's wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
Much love.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us online at theliberatedhealer.com, on Instagram at Liberated Healer Podcast, or on Facebook at The Liberated Healer. Give us a follow, subscribe, send us a message if you so feel, and thank you for your support. Podcast.